people and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Pete Shapouris, Matt D'Andrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey everybody, it's Shipton Steer. It is Thursday and my voice is feeling it. How are you guys feeling it? Matt D'Andrea,
Thursday. Wonderful, absolutely wonderful. I've been putting myself to bed on time, which is around midnight. And
you've got those little, you've got the little spray bottle you spray in on your tonsils.
He's got a humidifier.
I brought chapstick and Advil and eye drops. And
I did too, but they don't work for me at least. Pete, how are you holding up, my man?
Well, you know what? You guys are too young.
That's Pete's in better shape than me.
I was at 2 o'clock this morning. I'm hot to go.
I didn't say I was tired. I just said I can't talk.
Best part of it, dude.
Well, next time you do 3 shows a day.
Oh, man, I did 5 shows a day yesterday.
See, there you go. Why don't you move that mic up there?
So somebody can hear me.
So
swear.
They can hear you.
Yeah, damn.
But, hey, and remember, we've also have another member of this team. It is myself. I'm Brad Fanshawe. Hey, everybody, and I'm here with these guys. Oh, we do have another guy. You can hear his laugh. Aaron sorry. Hagar. How sorry. You doing, Aaron?
Sorry, I was distracted. I felt something against my leg. I looked down. There's a head. I'm like, whoa.
What?
No joke, man. No
hey,
joke.
My hands are in my pocket.
That gravel in my voice just went away. I was like, hey.
Hey, and we're starting out this edition of Shift and Steer live from the SEMA show floor. And thanks to our friends at Derailleur Performance who provided this stage for us right below Ford. And our first guest of the day is none other than Daryl Hollenbeck from the Vintage Color Studios. How you doing, buddy?
Great. How you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. I'm just hoping you're going to be a chatterbox so I don't have to ask a lot of questions.
You didn't ask me to talk.
Oh, come on. No, but we were talking before, and you have your car here in the PPG booth, right?
Yeah, it's in the PPG booth. It's a good week. I mean, we've had fun, and they got a great display down there with the Riddler car, our car. And
why is your car in there?
It won some trophy down in L.A.
I know, that's right. Yeah. What was it?
Did you bring the trophy?
The trophy is here, yes.
Now, I know it wasn't like the Circle K.
Yeah, America's
cars
Most Beautiful Roadster. Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah. what so it was.
We've had a pretty exciting year.
Just
so.
That.
It's been fun.
That's one of those lifetime moments, right?
It is. Yeah. It's one of those things where our name's on a trophy forever, so right. it's a cool deal.
Tell me about the car. What kind of car is it? What is it?
It's pretty.
It's a 72 Volkswagen.
It's not a Pinsgauer.
It's the same color.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, it's not a Fox body. Yeah. It's not a Fox body.
It should be.
32 Roadster.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard of those. Yeah. Pete told me about those.
I've heard about those.
Yeah, Pete knows about those. He knows his way around them. So. Yeah.
So tell us, how long you been working on it? Tell us the color. Tell us the driveline. Tell us all about it.
Did you build it or paint it? Or both?
I painted it, finished work. It's my personal car, but we did a little deal with Dan Webb and Corey Talbert in Detroit, Michigan, and did a little swap deal. They did some chassis work and mock-up and all that. But we've had it for about 3.5 years.
Great.
And it went together in about 9 months.
And it's Pinsgauer green?
No, we call it rotten avocado green.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
So it's kind of kind of a brownish green, ugly, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's been an exciting year.
Now, Daryl, you've been painting cars and, you know, show winners and all this for years. Yeah. Was this always like kind of your dream to have an AMBR winner?
No, well, I've won 2 other times with customer cars, Paul Hansen and John Mumford. I was involved in those projects, but, you know, we never built the car for a show car. We built the car to drive and enjoy and have fun and all that, and it just so happened that, you know, we wanted it on the main floor at the Grand National, and John Buck said, the only way you can put it on the main floor is to enter an AMBR, and we're, okay, well, let's do it. And, you know, we cleaned it up, detailed it, and it had 9,500 miles on it when we put it in the show. So
wow.
did you? There's rumor that you did or did not touch it up the front.
You know what I did on the front? I painted the front axle. It touched up the frame horns and the spreader bar, and that is it. And I did the axle in the car.
Oh, you didn't take it out?
I didn't take it out. I'm a painter. I can do
you're
anything.
A rascal. You're
yeah,
a rascal.
Man. We're you painters.
Know, I know all the tricks, Pete.
you better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, right?
So, no, it's we're having a good time with it. We took it up to Canada with Pete.
I know. That's what he said. He said he couldn't keep up with you guys.
No, you know what? That guy right there.
He's a wild man.
He's the OG on that trip.
He is.
And you know what car he took, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He said he took his...
Old
his 27,
yes.
But we know he took his Mercedes and had the air on.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah, we know he did because he didn't wear sunscreen.
That trip, when he pulled up, when our first, we met in Reading, and he pulled up in that car, and I went, holy shit.
I know. He had his kidney belt on.
No, he jumped out and up over the side of the car, and I went, that's OG right there. Oh, this guy.
Old guy.
Yeah. Old guy. Yeah, old guy right there.
But I had a guy at the hotel said, what does it feel like to drive a car like that when you're 55? I said, I don't know. I'm 75. He goes, what?
No, but we've had a good summer with it. We've been having fun. So
well, we see your posts all the time.
Yeah,
you and your wife Terry are always out somewhere in that car.
Yeah, I mean that's what it's for.
That's what it's about.
It's,
yeah,
you know.
Now let's talk about a little bit about your painting and like that because, you know, you're always involved in projects. Yeah. You know, at your shop. But what's your favorite style of painting? Because I know you're into a lot of the, you know, the old school stuff and like
well,
that.
Well, yeah, I mean the wagon we did years ago, the lace and panels and all that stuff, those are always fun to do, but I'm a less is more kind of guy.
Okay.
You know, I mean.
So you like white?
No, what he's saying is.
Yeah, I like white, you know.
No, what he's saying is he can charge,
white,
his,
but
he can charge as much for one color as he could
for 15.
For
yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter, really, does
no,
it, Darryl?
But less is more, am I correct?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't
absolutely
matter. I'll paint anything.
We had a guy the other day said, I'm going to go black with the car, and Mick goes, paint it any color you want. It's all the same price.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So,
how'd you get into it?
I'm third generation.
I know. I know that, but they
don't. Yeah, no, I'm third generation. My grandfather had a shop. My uncle had a shop. My dad worked for my uncle, and I started there. And
I just had this flashback of my cousin Vinny moment when she's on the, my father's a mechanic, his brother's a mechanic, his father before
yeah,
him
no,
was a mechanic.
It's in my blood.
Tell him about your gear shift knob.
The gear shift knob, you've seen it, right,
yes,
Brad?
Yes, I have.
And it's
awesome.
It was the old siphon feed guns. You'd hang them, they'd drip on the floor. And it made a mound of paint over 30 years.
Yeah.
They closed the shop, so my dad chiseled up a chunk. My dad passed away 13 years ago, and, you know, they call it Fordite, you know, but this has a little bit more meaning than Fordite.
Because
yeah,
it's got that personal meaning.
It's got my grandfather, it's got my uncle all used to paint, and that's all there.
So all these drippings from the years that you get, imagine, like, to break it down, I guess, basically for the program here, is that if you had candle wax, it just, you know, all these colors
all
and
these,
all this, and they hardened, and you could, well, that's what the paint did. And he made it into a shifter.
Yeah.
And it's so cool.
Have you ever seen one of those 3-inch gobstoppers?
Yeah. That's it.
Everlasting gobstoppers.
Yeah. Yeah, the everlasting ones.
The everlasting
but no, it's cool. And it's got all the different layers, and we machined it into a shift knob and then the knobs
so
for the dash.
Cool, man.
So
that's so cool.
Wow.
It's got some, every time I shift,
right?
I'm grabbing a hold of my grandfather, my uncle, my dad. Yeah.
That's weird. You just made it weird.
Grabbing their shifter.
Hey,
I'm,
Matt,
you know?
It's the family knob.
It's the family knob, yeah.
Hey.
But no, it's cool.
My wife started one of those. We got this candle wax, but I probably shouldn't get into that. Right?
No,
so,
no.
Okay.
No.
Wasn't Madonna in that movie?
So I'm sorry I brought it up. I thought it was clever.
No, it is.
No, it's
cool.
The history and. I mean, you had to take it somewhere else, Pete.
I don't think Pete took it somewhere else.
We blame Pete for everything on the show.
Yeah.
That's the best part, though. I don't think Pete knew he took it somewhere else.
Am I drooling?
Yeah, what's on your bracelet there, Pete?
No, but your side of the table's moving around.
Yeah, what's this, Pete?
What about all of this? Go ahead, get on it.
No,
this is a family show.
Yeah.
It was, at least.
I love you
so
guys.
So what are you working on these days?
I hate you guys.
We just finished up a 32 roaster pickup to be Grand National. I got a 3-window we're doing ready for paint when we get
is
back.
Is it going into AMBR, your roaster pickup?
No, it's not. No AMBRs this year.
You're done. You did it already.
How about 2018?
No, but you know what? There is one that's kind of in the works. I don't know if it's ever going to make it or not, but it's one at Roy's. I know Well, everybody says they're going to go in and just take off that year that you're
going
to put it.
There's some cryptic talk going on there.
Pete's trying to eliminate the competition.
I would have thought you've learned, but you know, if the customer wants it, you got
to five cars to get one.
Yeah.
Hey, put away the dishes, boys. Put away the dishes.
Pete's like AMBR 17 or 19. You should do that.
Yeah. 18. 18. Forget about it.
You know,
forget about it.
Bobby's doing one for 18.
Yeah. No, it's. You know, it's fun, and like you were talking before, you guys' little.
What's the matter with
keep
Brad?
Keep going, keep the show.
Your little
Brad has Tourette's. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you know, if you build a car for AMBR, that's fine. But if you're trying to guarantee your customer you're going to win it.
No, that's
what I'm saying is you don't. You tell your customer up front. There's, you know.
I've already scared myself. I'm not going to do anything.
Yeah, no.
Now I have to say I didn't win. You know, the America's Most Beautiful Roadster Award. But I was a painter for a long time, and so I like patina because I got sick of painting.
Yeah, nice.
How do you feel about patinas?
Patinas.
You realize it's twice as much work as painting.
It is.
When someone says, when they bring a car in primer and they say, "Will you patina this?" And you're like, "Really?"
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Or just leave it outside.
Is that a female?
Yeah.
Fatima.
Fatima.
Could you Fatima my car?
I just had a conversation about that not too long ago, and I'm like, I can do it, but it's almost
Fatima?
As expensive.
She needs to stand
it's almost
still.
As expensive as doing a full-on paint job, buddy. It's hours and hours and hours of micro finishes, you know?
Yeah. He says that, and then all he does is park it outside for 2 months.
Sprat. Yeah. Why do you think I moved to Tahoe?
I know. Yeah. There's a little salt out there.
Like, we're a mile and a half closer to the sun, man. That cuts like 10 years off right there.
It's like a radiant oven right there.
That's right. It's like natural accelerant.
Is your agent giving you things to talk about?
No, she just was, sent me a message. You're talking about patina, so we did that truck for Eric Clapton. And you've done.
Who's he?
He's some guy that sings and plays a guitar.
I've heard of
him. He's Billy friend. Yeah.
He sits down a lot.
But we did a 34 pickup for Eric Clapton. It was that way. And it was in the movie Clint Eastwood and.
And you know that
El Torino
guy?
Or?
No, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
No, not the one with the monkey.
You're talking about the Bridges of Madison County.
No. Anyway, I can't even think of the
movie. This just went way off the rails.
You're talking about Six Guns.
Eric
and a donkey.
Took pictures of it. Paused the movie. Took pictures of it. And told Roy, "I want you to build me this truck." And it was beat to hell. You know,
the Bridges of Madison County.
That's not it.
Oh, that's not it. Okay, I'm just stuff's coming to my head.
Yeah.
I got Tourette's too now.
Yeah.
What was the movie with the monkey in it? What was the name of that?
Every Which Way But Loose. Every Which Way But Loose. Yeah.
I know a lot about monkeys.
Thank you.
The bear.
Yeah. Sorry,
it was an orangutan.
That was an ape. Yeah. Yes, it was an orangutan.
The bear.
Yeah.
Get it right.
BJ and the bear.
BJ and the bear. There you go.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
We're getting somewhere now. Yeah.
Clint wasn't
anyway,
in that
so,
one.
No. So that truck had patina.
Oh, yeah. We made it ugly. Real ugly.
Beautifully ugly.
Yeah. No, it's
beautifully ugly.
It was fun.
Now, did you clear coat it? Did you cheat and clear coat it?
I sat and cleared it, yeah.
Oh, man. These people, I tell you.
But
these painters.
But I did another one. No, I did another one. I did it in lacquer.
Still. Wax finishes, my man.
No.
We got to talk.
We did it in lacquer.
You're the only one who does
wax
that.
Wax finishes.
Was it black or red lacquer?
Have you ever thought about
it? I started with red. And went black and blue.
Okay.
Or blue and black because
it
looked like it'd been painted blue and then went black. All right.
So
we're getting off topic here.
Hey, well, that's what the show's all about.
It's a chat and scat,
If we just talk about, you know, the same old thing all the time, then, you know, these people wouldn't stand around to see what crazy stuff we can talk about next.
Exactly. Yeah, pin scours, rust, same stuff we always talk about, you know.
Hey, Matt, that car you're building for AMBR, are you going to have him paint it?
Well, I mean, I got to cut the roof off to make it.
He's only fox body. So would you paint a fox body for him?
Yeah, I'll do anything.
Would you paint a jacuzzi?
Oh, look.
Would you paint a jacuzzi?
What's the next question from our...
No, that's the name of the movie.
Thunderbolt and Lightfoot. I remember that one.
I remember that.
My secretary over there. That's why she gets paid the big bucks.
I don't recognize that title.
I remember Pete telling me about that.
Yeah.
You know, he's from that era.
He filmed it in 38.
Yeah.
But if you like painting a small, like, you know, a swimming pools, Matt's got one.
You got nice.
Yeah, fox body. Well, if you cut the top off it, it's like a lap pool, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's not big.
I don't know where that's going.
No.
So let's get back to your cars for a minute because that is shift and steers kind of thing. Hey, now, Now, your car, you drive it all the time.
Uh-huh.
Now, how much does your wife influence where you're going, when you're going? Because I know you guys are both. I mean, Terry is a big hot rod fanatic. Comes
she's
from a hot
she's,
rod
yeah,
family.
She's a Brizio, so.
That's what I mean. So where do you guys sit down and say, hey, this is where our next trip is? Or do you have a bucket list of trips? What do you got?
No, we just, you know, there's stuff that we do. Like, we went to Canada. That was our big deal. We're thinking about going to Austin this next year. We just talk about it. If I can get the time off of work, you know.
If she gives you the time off of work,
well, my
right?
boss is an asshole, so, you know. he's hard to work
Mine
for.
Mine is, too.
Yeah, so.
Left hand client.
You know, she's good. She's retired now. She's a stay-at-home mom. So. But, no, yeah, we just... A group of people want to do something, we do
stay
it.
Stay home, Mom.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm asking because you guys do use your car, and you do go a lot of places. And
Pete's got a
four-legged hairy kid.
Yeah,
we got a new four-legged
you
hairy
see
kid.
It. You
yeah.
see him
yeah.
on
see?
Come on, yeah. Pete.
Yeah. Pete, well, they got a water buffalo.
We,
you didn't know?
We would have sent you an email or something.
Pete
you
hasn't
know we had
seen
a kid
in a while. Yeah. He doesn't yeah. know what's going on.
It's like George, you know? Yeah. Come on, that's my
well,
kid.
I got one of them.
Yeah, yeah. So
man, yeah. catch up, Pete.
But no, right. we just, you know.
Well, no, I was asked because, you know, so many people, you know.
There's a lot of places
there's a lot of guys that build
go.
Cars
yeah.
and then they sit in their garage.
No.
Or they, and I know you don't.
No.
But I want to know, is it like, you know, hey, I got to do groceries.
No,
we're gonna go.
Yeah, no, we'll do the lunch or dinner, or go out and get ice cream or something like that, you know. But it's a few ticks away from 15,000 miles on it already, so
it's awesome.
Rightfully
you
so.
Know, and I want to do something with this guy again. He and Carol are fun to travel with.
Yeah,
you know, and they're good people.
That's what we're gonna do.
Yeah,
buddy.
They keep a gun between the seats and a baseball bat.
Whatever.
Just gonna
say that about
carries
my
weapons
gun like
with
that.
Him when
yeah.
he travels. That's all right. You
just make
sometimes.
Sure you bring the sunscreen.
Yeah, yeah. He got pretty beat up.
Oh
but,
man.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta give him props, man. That was a good long trip.
I got
little,
the kid that saw my pistol and he goes, "Boy, I sure like your emergency brake."
Yeah.
Pete, the OG outlaw of hot rods.
Yeah, no. that is it, man. And it's a big family.
It is.
And it's,
no, no,
it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, Pete talked for weeks and weeks
yeah.
about his
yep.
fun trip. And, you know.
And he stayed in some people he never even met before. Yeah. You know,
the
customer
farmers.
Roy's, the farmers. And they're great people.
Pete just
the
walked in the door with
farmers.
A weapon in
the
his
farmers
hand.
Like, farmers.
I'm staying here.
Yeah. I said, where are you staying? I said,
sure.
Right here.
Right here. No, and that's just what it is. It's cool. Pete
yeah.
had some troubles, but, you know, it's...
You know,
that's hot rod.
Exactly.
That's hot rod. That's the community.
Nope.
Well, dude, we appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, thank you.
And doing a chat and scat with us.
Yeah.
Since you were walking by, we grabbed you, tugged you in.
Yeah.
Now, where can we find you online?
Instagram, Vintage Color Studio, Facebook, Daryl Hollenbeck.
VintageColorStudio.com?
.com, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's giving us sign language.
Yeah, but I don't
from
know
the
sign
bleachers.
Language. No, I don't know
good thing
sign
I do.
Language. Yeah.
Good thing I do. So anyway, so VintageColorStudio.com.
Yeah.
And we'll watch for everything that's going on. Follow him online.
Yeah.
And, you know, see those pictures. It's usually of a road trip, a dog, a dog, a dog, a dog, a road trip.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's very cool.
Yeah.
But who
so
am I to talk,
you
right?
You handle all the social media.
Who am I to talk?
What's that?
So you handle all the social media?
Yeah, pretty much. She's got her own. And, you know, we do, yeah.
And if you're listening here at SEMA, you can find it out front of...
PPG.
Yeah.
Look
yeah.
for it out
are
in front of PPG.
Are you over there with our boy, Bobby Alloway?
Bobby Alloway. Yeah. I asked him when he was going back to Australia. You know, that accent he's got. I can't figure out where he's from. I thought he's from Australia for the longest time.
You're
well,
right.
They both got
yeah.
hairy stuff.
I just put
that's
up an
sure.
hour and a half of it.
I know. He says he's from New York City, and I don't believe him.
I think he is. New Jersey.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, hey, Daryl Hollenbeck from Vintage Color Studio. Thanks for
it's
jumping up
pleasure,
here on the
man.
Shift
thanks
and Steer stage, buddy.
Good seeing you
good
guys.
Seeing you.
All right. All right. Thanks, man.
Hey, we've
love
got
you,
more
Pete.
Coming right here. We've got Ray Everham. He's on his way over, so don't go away because he's going to be up here in just a few minutes. Shift and Steer, and you can find us at shiftandsteer.com. Hey, we're back. Second half of Shift and Steer live from the SEMA show floor. And, you know, I'm going to give another shout-out to Derailleur Performance for providing Shift and Steer, Man Seeks Adventure, and Dixon's Wild Ride for our podcast stage right here on the show floor. And continuing with this great group of guests that we've had all week is Ray Everham, thanks for coming by.
Oh, man, you couldn't keep me away from here. This is wild. I'm running up and down the aisles, getting autographs like a kid, handing out business cards, getting hugs from Candy Clark from
there
American Graffiti. Oh, my God, this show is amazing, and it gets bigger every year.
It's You're talking about Shifton Stare, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just here on the stage.
What were you talking about? Yeah, that was just here.
And when you leave the stage, all kinds of stuff happens.
You know, we were talking about this earlier. You're right. The show keeps getting bigger. It's bleeding out into the parking lot past the Renaissance Hotel, and now there's booths in the Westgate Hotel. Like, the SEMA show keeps getting bigger and bigger. I don't know what they're going to do.
There's
all
a guy
Vegas.
Selling parts in the men's room.
Well, I mean,
little
he's
hand
looking
pumps,
at me like, what? Don't buy anything
from that parts
guy.
He was selling SoCal T-shirts.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I knew last year when they tore down a hotel across the street for future expansion that SEMA's got big plans.
SEMA has big plans.
But you were kind enough to come by last year when we were over in that new annex, and, you know, we were kind of in a closet. But now this year we're right out on the main floor, and thanks for coming by, you know, because you did it, you know, when we were just in the closet. Now we've come out of the closet.
You guys, I always have fun with you guys. I listen, and, you know, this is a fun show. There's a lot of things you do. It's an interview. You're out there, put a little media out, talk about the car, talk about your sponsors and whatever. But come here to have fun, and you guys have an awful lot of fun. And my hero here, Pete Chaporis, he is here.
It's
like the godfather right here.
Do you know what his nickname on the show
is? His ring. What?
We call him the Hoff because he's in so many Hall of Fames.
Yeah.
We just call him Hoff.
Yeah.
Got another one last night.
Another one?
Yeah.
Jeez.
But it wasn't mine. It was Alex's.
But
still,
I kept it. We need to start the campaign. SEMA needs to have the Pete Chaporis Award. And I'm
serious without
about
a doubt.
That. Yeah, we need the Pete Chaporis Award.
I'll sponsor that.
I'll do that.
There you go.
I'll do it.
I don't know what you got to do to get the Peach Forest Award, but
that's going to be the problem.
That's the problem. Well, you got
to start out. That's the easy part.
Yeah.
You have to not wear sunscreen from here to eternity. Yeah.
Have a baseball bat in your trunk, a weapon between your seats.
That's all you got to have.
We're getting there.
That's right.
Hey, now you were telling me before we went on the air that you went down to say hi to our buddy Rob Ida.
Yeah, well, honestly, I'm amazed by the craftsmanship and the work that this guy does, and it's just his style and the things that he does, and that Tucker that he's building now is just amazing. But he's a kid that grew up in New Jersey. He's a Jersey guy, so we don't really get any great super metal fabricators in New Jersey. We're all kind of modified hacks, you know what I mean? We cut the fenders off and run the stuff in the fence at 100 miles an hour, and that's how we go NASCAR racing. But Rob is amazing, and it turns out that we're really close from the same area, and I actually, when I was a kid, I worked in the junkyard that they junked his dad's Hemi Healy.
Really?
Yeah, but I wouldn't have known any of that. But it really, he said, "Yeah, I'm right on Texas Road." I said, "I worked at H&H Auto Wreckers," and so small world. But really, have been a fan of his. And I was on my way down here, and I was like, "Look, I'm going to stop and introduce myself to that guy." So I'm like super fan. There's a couple of car builders and people that I've met here that I've just walked up and said, "Hey, I'm Ray Abraham, man. Love your work. Just want to meet you." And they're like, "What? Who are you?"
Yeah. Now, you know what's so cool about him is that a lot of builders stick in one little area. And Rob, like, he's got a Porsche down here, a 930.
Yeah.
And then he'll have a hot rod. And then he'll have this hand-built, you know, metal-crafted car. I mean, he's just really a wide range.
Did you head out there just for fun, or were you doing another episode of the show?
Well, where?
To go see Rob.
Rob was here, so passed him on the way in.
Just here.
But now we did shoot the other night because one of the projects that we did for Americana, I've always been in love with the movie American Graffiti. And in that movie, obviously they had Milner's Coupe and they had Falfa's 55 and all that. But I was in love with the 58 Chevy. And I was able, it took about 2 or 3 year process, but I was able to purchase that car.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And that car that was in the movie.
That was a really good choice.
Yeah. Well, that car, it was still fairly original. Didn't have the right correct engine in it, but we took it completely apart, rebuilt it, didn't replace the chrome, you know, straightened everything out.
Wow.
And just like the movie Toad said, "Hey, I got a 327 with 6 Strombergs," we found a 1962 classic 327, put 6 Strombergs on it. And it was all about the tuck and roll with Candy Clark, right? Feeling the tuck and roll. And the car had the original interior in it, but it was rough. So Bobby Alloway helped me find a guy to take the interior apart. We disassembled the interior, found some of the original dated type material to put it back with, because obviously, it was what they call it, naugahyde or whatever back then. It's not leather, it's not vinyl,
right?
But And so they re-dyed it, restitched it, put the original interior back in the car. Still has the original rear tires on it from the movie.
Wow.
It is real. Wow. We left
and
a lot of those.
You still have that.
Oh, it's right now it's over at the Exalta booth at, you know, right across from Central Hall, and we brought it here and unveiled it Tuesday. And it's just amazing. Sunday night, we drove it around on the strip. I was dressed as Toad.
Oh,
it was
man.
No one even knew what we were doing.
That is
cool. We're shooting, and they're like, oh, that's a clown. We're like, no,
that's
the
real
one.
Cool.
That's the real car.
Wow. Yeah, so that was Halloween for us.
Congratulations on that. That's a
great
find.
Yeah,
did you wind up at the lake, though, having a beer?
No, but like Candy came with us, and I had to stop and get us a pint of Old Harpers.
There you go. Yeah.
But I took the keys with me. You know?
You're waiting out there trying to get somebody to buy for you, right?
Yeah. It was easy here in Vegas.
I got to tell you, I know it's a safety thing for a lot of these cars, but having the original tires
on original that stuff, rear tires. The fronts are different, but original.
But, I mean, still, so someone handed me an old relic. But it was a 62, and it had the original tires. The thing only had 30,000 miles on it, I think, and it still had the original tires. And I was just so excited because it had the original tires, and you could tell, even the original spare, and they're, like, drivable.
We cheated a little bit. We actually changed the tires to do the shoot, but it's sitting over there on the tire. But it does have the original shocks and springs.
It bounces around a little bit. Actually,
it's like it kind of just moves around like
a big
old boat. You know?
Right? This one does, too. But it's so cool.
But I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's there. Yeah, it's there. And I'll let you drive it, Pete.
There you go. That's an offer.
Pete will burn the tires off it.
Candy Clark is here.
I know Candy.
Oh, well, then we'll put her in the front seat with you, and she can call you Toad.
There you go.
She said, you know, you remind me of Toad. I'm like,
really?
He was a foot short of me. She's like, yeah, but you're a little nerdy.
I'm amazed.
We'll have to get a picture of you sitting in that.
Yeah, we should, Pete.
Wow.
Yeah.
We should. That's history.
And, you know Ray Claridge of Movie Cars in L.A.
He
helped me locate it and really work through the profiles and history people that were auctioning it off. And it was probably a 2-year process. And I gave up on getting it a couple times, and then we were finally able to get it.
What
that's
an acquisition.
Great.
That's awesome,
gotta be
man.
One
congratulations.
Of the most stunning stories I've heard. I swear to God.
Well, that's the best part about it is all the stories.
And that's sort of history.
And we really, we're towed back into the guy at the traffic light. We left that dent and everything in it. We fixed the chrome, but we left it dented. They cut holes in the frame rail, which looks like a torch where the camera platform and everything was on.
Wow.
We left that stuff. And, you know, so the car is basically brand new as it came out of the movie.
Wow, nice. That's awesome.
That's so cool.
So it's an off-the-track Impala.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's it, man.
Wow.
Where were you in 62, man?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was so told that the whole budget for that film was $850,000.
Probably. Yeah,
including the music. Can you
crazy?
Imagine just the music would cost you that today?
So basically someone didn't get paid.
Yeah, somebody didn't get paid. It was funny because we were just talking earlier, one of the other interviews I was doing about how that has sort of evolved into the movie cars today, driving some of the movie cars and down a couple, you know, here at SEMA's the Magnaflow. Sorry, Pete, I'm sticking my finger in his eye.
I'm just kidding.
Magnaflow's got the Batmobile over there Ben Affleck Batmobile.
Oh, yeah.
And we interviewed Tanner Faust, and he did all the driving on the Red Dawn remake, and he did Fast and Furious like 6 and 7. He did a lot of stunt driving. He said for the Fast and Furious movies, just the car budget to make cars for the film was $25 million.
Oh, I believe it.
Wow.
I believe it.
Just
in
cars. Yeah. I didn't get that.
Yeah. You look at a classic like that where the whole movie, like I said, $850,000, and that really, I feel like, brought back a lot of that music and really helped push Hot Rod.
Well,
and your movie, The California
Kid,
those movies.
Kid is all original. Yeah. I had to make a deal with Jason and Jerry. They were going to restore it. And I said, don't touch it.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's been a long time ago.
Yeah.
But how... You're bitching to have the car perfect, just like what you got.
Time capsule.
We had to do something, because I'll tell you what had happened to the 58 is that it was painted with lacquer quickly, right? It was a white car, then it was painted red, then it was painted white for the movie, and the paint was cracking and falling off.
Yeah.
So we talked with the people from Exalta, and they came in, and we digitized all the stripes, made templates and all, and made the car
perfectly imperfect because there's a lot of the gaps that don't line up, the stripes, but they weren't the same for the movie. So we really took a lot of time to match exactly the way it was in the movie, even though it's not perfect. And you know how hard it is to match gaps that aren't perfect?
Yeah.
No, it's harder. Like, no, that hood lines up too good. You know, the guys in my shop, I've been beating on them for 10 years to do the stuff perfect. Hey, that hood lines up too good. You've got to get that gap.
Yeah. And they change that one, and it straightens out another one. Yeah. No, that one.
It is. It's worth it. It's hard to change.
You guys went through a lot of shims.
You told me I could never do that.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, do you have any other cars on your short list that you're like, I'm still trying to chase this one down?
No, I'm going to tell you, I swear to you that my whole life and people, you can go back and look at some interviews back when I was doing the racing with Jeff Gordon, people would say, what car is their car? And it was always about that car. I had diecasts of that car and posters, and I bought actually one that looks like it, you know, and I actually drive it as my hot rod. I got a driver. It's a 348 Three Deuces car just because I loved it, and I love that car. And my whole life, 15 years old when the movie came out, and just, you know, acquired that car a little more than a year ago. But it's it, you know. And I tell you, it's awesome. If I had to get rid of everything else in my collection right now and only could keep one car, that'd be it, because it really is a reflection of everything in my life. You know, it's amazing. The other day when we did that, it was an incredible event because I thought to myself, how do I get here? I felt like the Forrest Gump of cars, because the car that I've always wanted, I'm here with the lady in the movie, and we're at the biggest, you know, car show in the world, really, and people are, you know, clapping and cheering. I'm like, this is crazy.
Impala is like one of the most perfect platform cars to start with ever built. They're just beautiful. All you got to do is lower them, slam them on the ground, put wheels and tires on it, and go. They're perfect.
You know, there's just something about that scoop in the center of the roof and
everything.
The style. It's just really, you know. So I'm good. If I get run over by a bus tomorrow, don't cry.
Happy.
Have a party, man.
You're going
say,
happy.
Hey, that guy.
If he gets run over by a car tomorrow, Pete, you're not going to be over there buying that car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's buy it.
No, he'll be over there going, you know, Ray.
Hey, Ray said on the air.
Ray left me the car.
Yeah, he said on the air that I can drive it.
Yeah.
He kind of inferred that it was mine.
Is that car for sale?
No.
It's not for sale.
No.
So what's going on with the new season of the show?
Oh, boy, we're doing a short season because, you know, we don't write and then do stuff. We find cars and
it's all about the stories.
And I don't want to go out and start creating stories. We've got some really neat things coming for this year, like the Mario Andretti car that we found. We were finishing up. Found Mario Andretti's rookie car, won his first race, took his, you know, his first Indy in it, first championship. Found that car, restored it. Took it to Amelia Island and won a really nice prize against Duesenbergs and Rolls and things like that.
Awesome.
And then took it to Indianapolis Motor Speedway at the 100th running and had Mario Andretti drive it again.
Wow.
So great. That's cool.
And then we had some fun with Dale Earnhardt Jr. He wanted to build a El Camino and between an El Camino and a NASCAR stock car. So we built the car, and then we used Kyle Tucker's Detroit Speed suspension. And I shot my mouth off and challenged Kyle to a race, and I'm thinking, oh man, I'm over my head. So we actually raced Kyle Tucker, but I felt like I hurt my back, so I had to call in my buddy Alonso Jr. to race him. So we had a lot of fun, and we might have rigged the race a little bit.
How many are you gonna do shows? You gonna
just
do?
five this year? And
this year's only a couple more months.
Well, no, I'm sorry for
season.
Yeah. But we had some great conversations with Velocity about some things going forward. A lot of excitement about Americana, and then some of the other things that we found. People are calling us all the time, and we open up. I'm telling you, they may not be barn finds, but we opened up a garage door the other day for Mr. Hendrick. He sent me to look at something, and the garage hadn't been open in 51 years. And
wow.
I can tell you that there's a Corvette in there that when this gets, we get everything in order, it's gonna rock the house, because it is a very special Corvette. And it was thought to be long gone, but it exists.
Wow, that's smelling an aluminum block.
That stuff's still out there, you know? Think that stuff is not still out there. There's lots to be discovered.
Some of them are in my buildings.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them have bodies in them, and they're buried under the foundation.
Yeah.
We'll find them.
Yeah. You said that. Pete's looking at me. He's like, I'm going to get rid of Ray to get that 58. So, look, if I'm, if I turn up missing,
go ahead. I have the weapons.
Pete, he's ornery today. Watch out, he's ornery.
Pete's excited about your 58. That's the thing. He's going to buy my favorite cars.
I think that's an honor for me to have somebody like Pete excited about a car that I have. So I really want you to get over there.
Yeah, we haven't seen him smile on the show in a couple weeks.
He talked me into leaving my car at his place.
Really?
Yeah, I had to sell the house.
What car was that?
To get it back.
We went to a premiere for that movie and took the hot rods. And when that 58 rolled across the screen, that was it for me. It was awesome.
Oh, wow. That's
a great car.
But it is, it's sitting right over there at Exalta. And it's right across from the Central Hall.
It's a great story, and that's what your show's all about. As Matt pointed out, it's all about the stories and the history, and it's the chase, it's the find, and then kind of documenting everything so that it goes back to what it was when it either rolled off track, off the screen, or the memories of the person who built it, right?
And I think that's the key, because cars mean so much, and you don't realize how throughout the years different people have connected with different things, and it brings. I have met some just incredible people that just kept cars for generations because they were attached to it. You know, whether their father raced it or their mom and dad were married with it, or the families had it. There's some story, and I can't think of any other machine in the history of the world that has really raised so much emotion as an automobile. Yeah. You go, oh, geez. Take a picture of me with my cell phone. No, take a picture of me with my car. Using the cell phone.
Absolutely.
You know, if you think about it, they've documented America's timeline.
Yeah.
I've got more cars than kids.
Very true. And cars also, they represent eras, because you can nail down cars to a certain era and a certain culture. I mean, right now, if we look at right now, this era is like pro touring and these cars that are going out on the track and they're going to the Optima Challenge. But in the 80s, it was, some of the enthusiasts were into vans, some were into pro street, and so there's always something. And with race cars, like a lot of the ones that you restore, they represent eras of racing, mostly technology that was available, right?
Yeah, and the biggest thing that we see, not just technology-wise, let's face it, what's really changed the racing world has been more the tools we used. The measurement tools, the CNC machines. CNC machines is the best and worst thing ever happened to the road. Yeah. It's taken away a lot of that craftsmanship. But some of the stuff that these guys are doing electronically now, it's crazy. Another big area technology-wise, safety. There's been so many safety innovations in racing.
Look what happens when you put a John Butera in a CNC machine.
Yeah.
Yes.
A real craftsman with a machine like that, my God.
Yeah. But that, I guess, nowadays with a craftsman, with us, it started with a piece of metal, and these guys go to the computer.
Right
and
here.
And then the rapid prototype.
It's all virtual.
I'm like, man, I'm just, people say, it's great that you're restoring vintage cars and vintage race cars, and I'm like, no, that's the stuff I know how to work on. I couldn't build it. I don't think Jay said, did you help Jeff Gordon when he ran, when he came back this year? I was like, look, I couldn't figure out how to start Jeff Gordon's car today.
There's guys like Clay Cook, did those guys talk to those machines?
Yeah.
Because I watched them do it. That craftsmanship, you just take the hammer away. I mean, I can't put it into words. There's only this many.
Yeah. That's why you and I are doing TV and radio now. Because those guys
we got discovered. They took they took our rocks and hacksaws away.
It's kind of hard to beat that carbon fiber into shape.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right?
I don't have an algorithm for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You'd be rolling that through your wheel, it just won't move.
Well, what was it Little John always used to say? He'd say, you can build anything if you have a drill press, a hacksaw, and a bandsaw. I mean, and he was serious,
My partner Jim Jacobs, John came over to me and said, "Don't ever show that guy a lathe or a mill. He's too dangerous.
He'll make anything."
And the good news is, you got Little John was an amazing fabricator, but his vision was really amazing. And a lot of these guys, a lot of these new guys, younger guys like Rob and some of these guys that you see here, they've got these incredible tools, but they've still got that vision, that eye. I remember when I talked to you, I said, what is it? Where do you start? And you said, the stance. Yep. That's what you, because we were judging out. Yeah, but Bobby Allen, it was like the stance.
We used to take a 58 Impala, pull the springs out of it, get 60 feet away with two hydraulic jacks, and get it where you want it.
Yep.
Cut the springs out of it and duplicate it. Because
the
car was perfect.
It's a great place to start.
And you know, the other thing that Little John had an absolute grasp on was the use of the English language.
Hey, he was from out east by us. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about his use of it.
Yeah, not only that, the machine was alive because his name was Guido.
Yeah. Be careful now, I'm from Jersey. You're getting close.
Yeah, Guido. Awesome.
So, what's next? What's on the horizon?
Well, we're talking about that. We're actually building a wild vintage modified race car for me, because they've opened up. They're running these vintage series, and what they mean is it's a vintage run what you brung. So we're building a 1936 Chevrolet sedan that's about 40 inches to the roof. It'll weigh about 2,000 pounds. It'll have a fuel injected aluminum big block in it, and you might see that here next year. And that's going to be my toy to play around.
Wow.
And I've got a 33 Ford Bonneville body looking type roadster. And right now, I just was able to, because of the show, I found a guy in his garage that had three Gurney Westlake IndyCar engines.
Really?
So we're looking at building that roadster as kind of a 60s IndyCar type thing. So that's what's on the drawing board. They started 289 block, and then he did the heads and the manifold, and you know, one of them's got Weber's on it. You know, it's really neat stuff. Yeah,
we had one of those. It was very, very cool. Yeah.
And keeping it simple, that's one of the things Rob and I talked about, is that he said, you know, everything here and the trend of things is to add. And like with that Porsche, for instance, he subtracted. So are you going with a real
simple, clean?
You
know, we want it to be in that theme of a 1967 IndyCar. You know, we're looking at how are we going to do that, because I really want to have, you know, we want to use some real Eagle parts, you know, some real Eagle, if we can find the uprights and some dance parts, because there's some of the vintage Eagle parts around. So combine the vintage racing Eagle with that 33 Ford chop body.
That's bare bones racing right there. Oh,
and then
beautiful.
You put the fuel injected motor in it. You got reliability, speed, horsepower, everything.
Yeah, we could use a transaxle and a 4-speed, and I could race that baby too. Cool. Well, it won't have fenders on it, so I won't be able to knock them off. That's why I run the open wheel. I ever said, why did you run the open wheel cars? Because I used to knock the fenders off all the time.
Well, you've got a car here at SEMA that doesn't have fenders, so see you one step ahead.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, man, bare bones.
Yeah,
I got a chassis. You could have John make you have you make you an alternator, because John's idea was, I don't like alternators, you just keep cutting it down until there isn't an alternator.
So, well, Ray, where can we find you online?
Honestly, you can find me our Americarna Facebook, but we don't really have a Americarna website, do we? Hey, Dad, what's our Americarna website? Americarna what?
We're getting this from, it's coming
Americarna
direct.
TV.
Here it comes.
Oh, it is. I do have a website, AmericarnaTV.com.
Well, hey, man, you're into...
You can get me on Twitter.
You're in the shop. You're not on the computer.
Ray Evernham Twitter, Ray Evernham Instagram. Send me all the hot rod photos, anything on Instagram. I'm an Instagram junkie.
And let's just say he Googles well.
Yeah.
So, Instagram's awesome because it's fast. It's there. It's, it happens. Yeah. So,
well, thank you.
We appreciate you coming by.
Hey, guys, this was one of the highlights of my trip. I love you. Yeah, you guys have a great time. It's always great. Always great. A lot of fun, this show. If you ever move it out east, save me a spot.
Okay. Right.
You got it. Thanks for participating because, you know.
Just make sure he doesn't go too far in my 58.
Exactly. Hey, everybody.
Hey, you don't have to.
I'll distract Pete with my wife. It usually works. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Ray Evernham right here, SEMA floor, shift and steer. And the show's going to continue on. We've got Steve Strope coming up next, so don't go away, because we've got even more right here on Shift and Steer live from SEMA 2016.
Woo!
Hey, we're back right here from the SEMA floor and with our friends Derailleur Performance. And you know what?
Yes.
Did you ever, I'm talking to Matt D'Andrea.
Yes.
The moderator. Were you ever the bicycler, D'Andrea? Did
no.
you ever BMX race?
No.
You
my,
did?
My brother did. I didn't get into the racing, obviously.
Did
BMX
you ever have a BMX bike?
Yeah, of course, of course.
Did you take it apart, put it together?
Yeah, I took everything apart.
Right.
I didn't really
you're
put
a car
it together.
Guy. That's why. Did your kids ever have BMX bikes? I know they had motorbikes.
I had a BMX bike.
You did?
Yeah.
Cool.
I did.
So, how about you, Aaron?
I raced a red line for a short time.
Well,
yep.
See, there we go.
We had Sausalito Cyclery.
Well,
so.
Our next guest is Steve Strope, and he might be known for building some badass machines. But I was up at his shop one day, and he goes, Brad, you got to come see this project I've been working on. I go, who's taking me in the back room? He's going to show me something secret, something really cool. And he did show me something really cool. It was an old, I think it was a JMC, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was a JMC there. There was a bunch of bikes, but JMC was one of them that you saw, yeah.
Well, this car freak here has been restoring BMX bikes down to the nut and
oh,
bolt.
Right.
And
oh,
we man. Got off on talking about how many BMX guys moved into auto racing, moved into car building, because it was their first chance to actually get their hands, you know, on fabrication or on, you know, building and creating and putting stuff together and tearing it apart. And guys like Gary Turner, who is now running funny cars.
Or he's been drag racing forever.
Been drag
he did back
forever.
In the day.
And he was GT bicycles.
Yep.
So we wanted to have him come up for a minute and just talk about a little bit about how many guys, who they are, and some of the bikes that you've been doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you got to understand, this is a car show, so we can't get into that.
I know.
The geeking out on, like,
it's not a car show.
And it's got vinyl pads with the right snaps, and, you know.
It steers,
you
right?
You know, I've got this really, really quickly because it's actually grown out of, it's blown way out with, I've started doing this and started talking with more and more of my friends, like Zane, Colin from Katati Speed
yes.
Shop, Timmy Strange, who I believe
Strange Motion
sponsors BMX team.
He does.
Right
he has
now.
His own BMX team. Yeah, him and his wife race.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Let's see. Who did I just had like a group of four or five guys we were just talking with.
Right up here, Tucci.
Dave Tucci also rode. James Otto, who's the one big country star guy that we were on the Revan tour with. He just bought a. Turned him back into this. He just bought a new 29-inch PK Ripper they just reissued.
Wow, that's awesome.
Well, I mean, and all kinds of other guys. Like, I remember when Jesse James worked for me at Boyd's, and we started talking. And he's going, yeah, man, I rode for CW Racing for a while. I had, like, a co-sponsorship. And it's weird. You take these guys.
He's on the Stu Thompson video.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Stu Thompson who is basically the Muhammad Ali.
Stomping Stu Thompson.
He's the guy from BMX. He was the worldwide face of BMX in the 70s and 80s. But you, by the way, not that I'm just the weirdo, this guy
I'm a weirdo for
was,
a lot of
he
reasons.
Was an editor in a magazine called Bicycles and Dirt.
Yeah.
You were the vice president of the ABA,
yes,
American
I was.
Bicycle
yeah.
Association.
Yep.
So
the Vision Streetwear guy?
Yeah, Vision Streetwear.
Knee deep in the BMX
I
thing.
I raced
also.
BMX. I raced pro.
We love looking at those
old
things.
We like to know
those Redline,
now
by
wait.
The way.
His
Redline made
his short
flat track motorcycle frames.
Oh, really? I didn't
almost
know that.
Almost all. So we're going to put this together very, very simple.
We're revisiting.
So we can move on. We're going to put this together
wait,
very simple.
Wait, don't move on. I want to do my one thing here so that I can compete with this guy. I'm in the BMX Hall of Fame. I'm a
there he is.
There we go.
I guarantee you nobody listening was expecting to talk about BMX at all.
I know.
Or there was one.
But they're all going, I raced. I had one.
Here's the whole thing of like all my friends in the industry that build cars, too, that we talk about. And it goes in this one other thing. The BMX bike was our first hot rod. Because by definition, by Mr. Peterson and Wally Parks, a hot rod is your vehicle that is modified and upgraded for better performance and looks. And the BMX bike was changed and altered. Every time you broke it, you got a better part.
Yep.
And my bike was chrome with all red anodized parts. His was white with all blue. Everybody did it their own way.
Yeah, true.
And we learned, first we learned how to strip out a bolt or break it off.
Yeah.
And then we learned how not to.
Right.
So now we're learning tools, how to use and not to use, how to customize, change it, make it better. That is our first hot rod. There's no question about it.
I learned
totally agree.
No question about it.
On my
totally
Astrobula gooseneck
stem. Yeah.
When the bolt broke off, that was the first time I ever drilled out and then re-tapped a screw because I had to make it work. I couldn't afford another one. But, you know, let's talk real quick about Skip Hess and Mongoose, the first the first company that built bikes
out of
Simi Valley. Simi Valley.
And he was friends with Tom McEwen.
Yes.
And his logo is the Mongoose from the Mongoose. Tom McEwen.
And Skip
that
Hess,
I didn't know.
And Skip Hess had Skipper's Critter, which was an Anglia that he raced. And I went over there years later when I was the vice president of ABA, and he goes, hey, you want to see something? And he had this huge office that overlooked the factory, and you went down a back stairway, and he had all these cars, Pete. He had the Skipper's Critter in there. He had a Pantera that was on two nitrous bottles. And this is back in the 80s, man.
Wow.
And, I mean, total car freak, drag racer, and he started this huge bike company.
So the point being, besides the BMX bike was a lot of our first hot rod.
Hot Rodders helped develop it.
The BMX bike after the Schwinn Stingray got modified, and people were like, I need a purpose-built frame and fork for this thing we're doing. Most of all of those guys were involved in one form of racing or another, whether it was flat track motorcycle with red line, whether it was drag racing. So the lineage and the roots and the bloodline of BMX bikes is
intertwined. What do you got, Pete? Cool.
Who built the Chromoly bike that was made out of wing strut material?
It was made out of what?
Wing strut. You know, it was oval shaped.
Tengay did.
Tengay and G-Boy. G-Boy did also.
I have a Tengay Shogun.
Did you have one?
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
Was it gold?
It was silver.
Okay, might have been a Skyway.
Skyway to you.
But there was
which
a couple
Tengay
companies
made?
Oh, there was also FMF, which you being a motorcycle guy, maybe it was
an
FMF.
That's what it was FMF.
I have one.
Yeah, an FMF, yeah. FMF
or JMC or JMC,
but he's a motocross guy, so I bet he had an FMF.
We have two of those. One, I have one for my kid, one for me, and we use them in the pits out in the dirt.
Yeah,
yep.
And FMF melded into Scott Enterprises,
Scott Racing.
Yeah. So we can't geek out too much,
but tell a little bit
about how many bikes you have and how you've been restoring these and how you still get cars done.
Well, the problem is two of my three employees are also, they're my same age, and they grew up riding also, so all three of us have, like, bikes on the side. So at lunchtime, we're right over working on the bike.
And then they all ride in a group. They're biker gang.
I'm trying to get them to ride with me. I've been riding. But on SEMA is over on Friday, tomorrow.
Right.
So tomorrow night, I get on a plane, fly back to Simi Valley.
And then I'll see you on Saturday.
Saturday morning, we're going to Gary Turner's for a big BMX show.
Open house.
God bless him.
This is where it's come, guys. They actually have restored bikes, just like we take our cars.
Shows.
And have a show of restored bikes.
Yeah, and
Peter's restoring his, so he can take it out to somewhere and do the same thing, right?
Exactly.
Well, you know what's funny, too, is like a couple years ago, I'd see someone our age riding a bike and an old BMX bike and be like, dude, that guy is like, he's missing the boat. And now, I'm behind him going,
how much for that?
I know. And now I'm looking out the window going, oh, which one is that?
Back then it was, I wonder how many bad decisions that guy made.
Yeah, exactly. Well, up in Tahoe, though, it's most likely still relevant.
Yes. But, you know, one of the things about it, Steve, I think, is that let's take a lot of guys. They've got a young family. They have kids. They'd love to build a hot rod. They'd love to build a muscle car. But this still gives them an opportunity
to go
back, restore something, show up with their buddies. And
you could store it easier.
Yeah.
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 Hangs from the ceiling. Really nice. Huh?
Don't lie to me now. Is it less expensive than a car?
No.
Well, not a cross body.
Some of the parts, when I'm looking for some original NOS stuff, is surprising.
It'll surprise you how much money. Actually, I believe it. Yeah,
I'll have enough money in a bike. Yeah.
Now, Matt, I know
kids are not going to college.
I know this will be extremely hard for you to believe.
All right, have it. Let's do it.
I do have a lot of stuff stored in my building.
Of course you do.
And my wife knows that.
I'm going for a sticker collection.
I was saying to Stroke the other day on the phone, I said, hey, you know, if you're ever restoring a bike or something, he goes, yeah, I know your sticker collection. I remember reading an article about it back in 84 and how you had them all stored in sleeves and everything to keep perfect. Yeah. And he goes, you still have those? I go, oh, hell yeah. You know?
He doesn't throw anything away.
Good.
Anything. He's got everything.
It's going to be handy for me because I keep paying. paying guys to make decals from original photos from magazines.
Oh, man. But see, everything, if you wait 30 years, it's relevant again.
Exactly. But you know what? If you
That means
if
I
you
should
look
be
back,
coming around soon.
Yes. If you look back at the history of BMX, just to kind of wrap everything up, the heroes that we have in auto racing, like the I looked through my stickers, and there was Dan Gurney BMX frames.
Oh, yeah?
There was, I mean, every major guy from motocross and auto racing at one time had a BMX frame. Why? Because he had a kid, and he said, well, we can fabricate something better than that. It could be faster.
Yeah.
You know,
they were all based on Stingray.
The original ones were Stingrays cut up, yeah. And then the guys that knew how to work with aluminum and chrome alloy tubing.
Lynn Kasten and Skip
Hess. All those guys started making
JVC. Look, that being said, we are at CMAR. Do you still build cars or what?
It is spare time.
In between the MCS Cruiser I just finished.
How about that Maverick you worked on with SEMA?
We'll talk about that real quick. Sung Kang came to me last year. Shell approached him and said, hey, we'd like to do a project. And Sung is a really great...
Isn't he?
Nice.
He's just an amazing guy.
I've been friends with him since the set of four.
Oh, man.
And he said, you know, he had an opportunity that, let's be real, Shell was going to fund him to build a car for him to leverage his personality, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, I've got this idea. I want to do this give back thing with kids.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I said, okay. And he already had it set out. He wanted this thing called Project Underdog. He wanted to get underprivileged kids. And he wanted to do a Maverick. He goes, a Maverick's like an underdog, right? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I said I'd be involved with it. And I asked if I could design it. And so I did this kind of Japanese street racer. Yeah. Ford got involved with their new 2.3. And everybody at SEMA and here, too, helped. I mean, there was stuff we had to have made out of the blue. There is no clutch to go behind that motor into a Tremec 6-speed.
Really?
Well,
right?
No. The only thing it's in is a new Mustang. There's no aftermarket. There's no standalone computer. Ford had to create that for us.
Wow.
So there's a lot of...
It goes deep, folks.
Yeah.
I was over
in
at LNG.
In the Mustang, I think it's a 5-speed. In the Mustang, I think it's a 5-speed.
Yeah, we're just using a Tremec period. It's not Ford. Wow. There's no computer talking to it.
Sure.
So all these people had to rally and get involved and create stuff from nothing to go in this little Maverick. Yeah. So
I mean, everything, because I was over at LNG, and they had just gotten the flares in. And
Rocket Bunny.
Yeah, because they had taken the ferro arm, brought it out, mapped the car, sent the data over to Japan, right?
Yep, to Rocket
and
Bunny, yep.
They sent them over, and they had just arrived. They put them up, and they go, oh, my God, they're a perfect fit. We don't even have to trim them.
We did the same thing. We scanned the whole engine bay. The guys at SEMA scanned the engine bay. And
so
then
that's the SEMA garage.
The SEMA garage. We
did.
We put the whole car there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike was just the champion of this car.
Yes.
We 3D scanned the engine bay and then took the data from Ford on the engine and literally digitally placed it in there and created motor mounts.
That's awesome.
Actually, it's funny because I have a picture of my son holding the prototype.
Well, you did it
on that 3D prototype machine.
Yeah, we 3D printed the motor.
My son's got it over his head like, yeah.
Hey, guys, we've got one more guest to squeeze in yet today. So we got it. But the car won the Ford Design Award.
Yeah, is so exciting.
It didn't win the design. It got a special achievement or something.
Well, hey, I used to get that in school. Are you saying there's something wrong with it?
No, there's nothing wrong with it.
Congratulations.
I'm very, very honored. Yeah, we got it. We were also there for
we talked about that, and that's awesome what you got.
Yeah, that is fantastic, guys.
I saw the car outside this morning, by the way, and it's phenomenal.
It's
you guys did a great job.
It's
and I've been following on Sung's social media and talking to Spagnuolo about it over at SEMA Garage. And
yeah, they want to do – I think all parties involved want to – well, Sung wants to make this perpetual for the kids.
It should
That's going to get auctioned, and the money's going to go to the college fund. For
to the Pinto they're going to build next, the next underdog.
I don't know what – that's up to Sung. I don't know, but I hope we do it again. I think it was great.
He gave me his contact information. He said he wants to bring that over to the Corolla studio so we can take a look at the car.
And he's a great guy. Yeah. He really is.
Yeah, he's been on the show. He's awesome.
He's a solid,
really
solid guy. I'm going
to drive and see if this clutch here works.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, whoo!
So, Steve, thanks for coming by.
Thank you very much.
Intertwine of hot rodding, custom cars, and the BMX world.
The BMX.
And so many guys there in that. And I'll see you on Saturday over at GT.
I will see you, sir.
All right, we got more coming.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Next up, we're going to continue with this look back because we've got Harry Hibbler, former publisher of Hot Rod, Car Craft, so much. and so many things that he's had his hand into, famous cars that you've known, you've lusted after. It's all going to be here, live from the SEMA show floor. Shift and Steer continues.
I had an Uncle Harry.
You had an Uncle Harry? Well, you got a Harry Hibbler right there.
Harry Starner.
I had a Harry Uncle.
As SEMA continues.
Harry Starner, yeah.
We are introducing Harry Hibbler, hand grenade Harry.
There we go.
Hey, we've talked about you on the show before.
You can live down a reputation, but never.
So, guys, we're continuing, and we saw Harry walking by. We wanted to drag him up on stage for a quick chat and scat to round out this episode. Harry, how you been?
I've been great. You know, just walking by, hearing you're talking about the BMX bicycles, in Hot Rod Magazine a couple of three times, we featured BMX bikes in vans and stuff because that was our reader. They were riding bikes too. So.
Yeah.
And I mean, you knew Skip Hess and knew all those guys. And, I mean, they just built this empire based around racing knowledge.
I knew Skip. From the funny cars before I knew Skip from bicycles.
Right. Well, that's what I mean, because he had Skipper's Critter, and he had all that stuff. And
you know, when I met Harry, it's been 100 years ago, but when I met Harry, I found out something really quick. There is no one he doesn't know.
Big family.
I'm telling you, if you need a phone number, Harry's got it.
And there's no one that doesn't like Harry. Well, almost no one. Yeah. I said almost no one.
One of them doesn't speak to me, and the other wants to shoot me, but I divorced them both.
Yeah, Harry's the guy that said to me, he said, instead of getting a divorce, buy a $100,000 house and give it to somebody you hate.
Ouch.
But, you know, this whole sport, this whole industry has been so exciting for too many years before I'll tell you how many years it is. But it's living in a dream world for somebody like me, because I grew up with cars, with racing, with everything, and then to get over and become the publisher of Hot Rod and Carcraft and some of the magazines and see the doors that opened for me to go meet people and do things. And, you know, guys like Brad, here, you know, he was with Boyd when I met him at Coddington, and, you know, we put together Cadzilla. All of a sudden, we've got something that's world-renowned, and nobody's looking back.
And Harry was always the champion. I mean, you know this, Pete, because there's so many great cars and great projects that wouldn't have happened without Harry, because, like, Alumacu. I mean, you fought for that car.
You know, just a quick story. We came back from a trip to Japan with Mitsubishi, and what they had for the twin-turbo V6 and all of the running gear, and Brad was interface for me with Boyd. I mean, I needed help. Boyd, you got to take that small block Chevy and that Ford rear end out of the Lumi Coupe and put this Mitsubishi stuff in there, and there's no way on earth that's going to happen. So it winds up happening. And then we're going to send him to the New York Auto Show. No way that's going to happen. Well, the car shows up back there. Jim Healy, who is the automotive editor for USA Today, Thursday and Friday, he kept talking about this little coupe back there. And Monday morning, there's a four-color shot of the Aluma Coupe in USA Today, and it says, folks, if you didn't see this car at the New York Auto Show, get your money back, because it was the only one worth looking at. And do you know what that did for not just Boyd and for the coupe, but what it did for the whole industry? Because there was a few million people that had never heard of Hot Rods that saw it.
Now, guys, I mean, Harry can back me up on this. Boyd did not want that car. Now, for what reason? They were saying, okay, hey, we want to put it on the turnstile, you know, right there. And Mitsubishi's booth was, you walked into Javits Center, and it was the first booth. So you couldn't miss this car. And they wanted to put it on the turntable. And Boyd goes, no, that's not where my hot rod's going. And so I told Harry, I said, yeah, it's okay, we'll do it. And he goes, but Boyd said no. I said, don't worry about it, we'll do it. And he goes, really? And I go, yeah, really. And then Boyd, what did he say? He said, it was all my idea.
Well, beyond that, you know, there was one follow-up story that went to the Aluma Coupe that was probably one of the biggest mind-blowers to me. As a result of that being there, Smithsonian did a feature on Boyd and his cars in Smithsonian magazine.
We were not only a feature, but we were the cover of Smithsonian.
Yeah, I mean, how hot is that? You know, something, Forrest, you never made Smithsonian yet.
Oh, come
yet.
On.
Yet.
Uh-oh.
He's
oh,
got, now, wait a minute. That
uh-oh.
Car that was
here
the red
comes.
What, the red car with flames on it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, but then
now, wait a minute.
I'm wrong. I want to tell them
a story about when.
I love it when it happens like this.
You know how many times somebody comes up to me and says you're never going to be in the Smithsonian, and be like, oh, wait a minute.
I'm getting there. No. Harry saved everybody's butt one day. Boyd called me and he says, if I don't get my money from Bill Ham, I'm going to put this car.
We're bringing up Godzilla stories.
Out in the street. And I said, you wouldn't. He says, in 10 minutes, it's in the street. So I called Harry. I said, you better go upstairs and get some money. Do you remember that? He told me, it's not in the street. I said, it's in the street. And Harry just waved his magic wand over the whole thing, and it went back in the shop.
I remember that story. You told me that story
yes.
not too
and
long ago.
This guy saved so many people.
To stay with the cat seller for just a second, one of the other things is...
We can do it for 10 minutes if you want.
We can do a whole show.
We were under deadline for the July issue that year, and seriously, they're painting the car, and we've got to shoot it the next morning. And they finished squirting this car, and it's delivered where we're going to shoot the cover, and... It's like, hey, the paint's not dry. Don't touch it.
It's real shiny, though.
Yeah, there's a lot on it, and it's got the little drips going down the bottom. You know, I mean, poor Greg.
If a fly lands on it, don't swat it.
Just don't get those photo lights too close. It might ignite.
Yeah, been there.
I've never been around a car project like that. What'd you say?
It was guys like Pete and Brad that made it worthwhile.
But, I mean, Pete, think about it. It was a challenge to begin with because Billy had to have it in, like, an unreasonable time frame.
A day and a half.
Yeah, I mean, it was like...
Man. 6 months from the day we called Boyd till it rolled into the magazine.
Yeah, you called me and you said, who would you... He asked me if I wanted to do it, and I couldn't because I had sold my company. He says, well, who could do it? And I said, Boyd could do it. I said, nobody else. Okay. What's the time frame? 6 months. Whoa.
To build one of the most iconic cars in Hollywood.
And you want that painted?
Coach built. It's a coach built car.
There was no Bondo in that car.
You know, now Harry.
You know, we just repainted it, and there is no filler.
No.
Wow. Not even a skim.
Nothing.
No.
Wow.
No,
I'm telling you, we just stripped it by hand.
Jeez. Hey, Matt.
But when it was in the street, brother.
We were talking about the Aluma Coupe, the other project that we worked with Harry.
That's the one Tim Allen blew up?
What's that?
that's
the one that was Tim Allen built. I mean, we took out and... Now, don't the stuntman, do not power break it. Do not power break it. First thing he does is goes out, power breaks it, and he broke it. You know, I mean, and it had to go somewhere after. But there were two cars that we built to tour with it. One was a Mitsubishi, whatever their SUV was, Montero or something?
Yeah, like Montero.
Yeah, and then Diamante.
Yeah.
I still got that car.
I'm sure you
do. I do. It's in my building.
Really?
No, but seriously, it was
building
the only
six.
One. Do you remember that car?
Oh, yeah.
Chip Foose, we came in and we said, Chip, do a rendering of it. We're on a two-tone. We're going to slam it, put it on a certain wheel. And we it was the only one ever imported into the U.S. with all GT drivetrain. It had the GT turbo motor, all-wheel steering, all-wheel drive. I mean, the car's incredible. It's got active suspension.
You've told me about that. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and so they were going to crush it. And I go, you're going to crush it? And they go, well, yeah, they don't import these cars to the U.S.
Yeah.
So I said, can I buy it? And they said, sure. And I bought it, and my parents had it for years till about a year ago. And my mom would drive it places. She said that she'd pull up, and guys would come up to her, and she'd get out of the tinted window of the car, and they'd go, are you driving your son's car? Because it still has Hot Rods by Boyd on the back, you know? And they'd go, so now she's got the Slam Tahoe that you saw.
Yeah.
And they're like, that lady has the coolest cars. You know?
That's not the looks we
Pasadena.
Got.
Yeah,
the Aluma Coupe, do you remember the photo shoot for that?
Oh, yeah.
Where it looked like it was on the moon with the guy in the NASA suit, and they never used those photos. I came across the 120 slides the other day. I've got them.
You know,
do you want to use the term fire for one of these sessions right now? Go ahead.
Well, I'm not following you.
But the fire?
I'm not following you.
Oh, yeah.
You mean that car that caught on fire, the Aluma Coupe?
Yeah.
How about when it almost got impounded by the DMV?
Yeah.
We took it out for a photo session.
The fire?
Oh, my God.
Yes. Well, the transaxle heated up and caught on fire.
It sounds like Dad's jazz.
What you have to understand, not every car that wound up in Hot Rod wound up getting by the law.
Yeah. And there was no difference. There was no fire cars out here.
The SEMA 4 don't run. Probably some of them are going to catch on fire later.
Or they're going to go too fast and still get caught.
Yeah. But you never know. You've never felt your heart drop until you get a call from Pete the truck driver, and he goes, "Hey, Brad, we got a little issue." And we go, "What? We're out here by the, you know, they're out in Palm Springs by the windmills."
Yeah.
And here's a car fresh out of the shop. No serial numbers on it because we created it from scratch. It was a scratch-built car. No plates. And a highway patrolman pulled them over on some remote, remote desert road. And all they were doing was driving up and down. They weren't hot rodding or anything, just getting the shots. And he pulled them over, and this guy was just the biggest jerk. And they go, "It's going on the tow truck right now," and they're saying they're going to crush it because it's not a street-legal car. And Boyd and I are, like, in, like, panic mode. We called that attorney that we all used to use.
Yeah, John.
Yes, John, exactly. And he, I don't know what attorney he did, but $20,000 later, we finally got the car.
Yeah. Well, so let me throw one quick shot on last year about...
That's a rough day.
When your heart stops, we hauled Cadzilla, drove it most of the way, and then hauled it the rest of the way down to New York City.
New York City.
And we were going to, in Manhattan, we're going to introduce Cadzilla. ZZ Top's all there. Everybody's there. It's black tie. And this is going to be a big, big deal on Madison Avenue. And at the last minute, I get this call, the car won't start. And so we wound up pushing Cadzilla how many blocks?
I believe Pete told me that story, too.
Yep. You know, it's your heart stops on that one, too.
Well, Harry, we're running out of time, okay, but I want to bring up a Harry story.
Uh-oh.
And I don't mean like a scary Harry story.
Halloween's
there's
over.
A bunch of those.
Not one you got to shave,
no,
right?
Something that you did, and it's around when you were with Hot Rod Magazine, and it's with the U.S. Navy and doing something on a giant ship, a carrier.
USS Kennedy.
Tell us that story very quickly.
Well, we were doing a story comparing shooting an F-18 off of a catapult on an aircraft carrier and the resemblance or the similarity to what Don Garlitz, who was the current holder at the time of all the records, you know, the pilots wearing Nomex suits and crash helmets. Everything was the same pretty much, except just one's going to, does have to stop and the other one keeps hoping that the parachute opens. And I'm sitting in the back seat of this plane, and I'm only doing it for one reason. I get to go back seat in on the F-18 off of the carrier. Yeah. I don't care about anything else, but I'm going back seat. And I tell you what, that was one of the most awesome experiences.
Oh, I bet.
And having driven fuel cars in the top fuel and stuff before, when you had to whip the chute out, the first thing is the guy says, sit on your hands when we lose the catapult because we quit accelerating so fast, and you're going to want to grab that stick and yank back on it, and we'll stall. So I had to sit on my hands, and I couldn't pull the chute.
Wow.
Have you ever seen those photos of the old Hot Rod? They had Garlitz's dragster on the carrier doing burnouts with the F-18 in the background. I mean, it was just awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
We got to look those up.
And then Harry somehow took a ride with the Blue Angels.
I used to go backseat in the Blue Angels twice a year for 4 or 5 years.
So nobody hates Harry more than me.
Yeah,
and you know what? Everybody at the Blue Angels, I still wear cowboy boots. And I could have traded my cowboy boots for about 20 pairs of flight boots from the Blue Angels because they all wanted to wear cowboy boots, and I got to.
Ladies and gentlemen, and he is wearing cowboy boots.
Well, hey, guys, we got to wrap up this show, and we want to thank Derailleur Performance, but where can they find us online, Matt?
Yeah, check us out at shiftandsteer.com, and we're on all of our social media at shiftsteermedia. Check out the podcast on iTunes or on the Podcast One mobile app.
That's it. Harry, thanks so much for coming by. Your history and what you've done for what we do, you kind of laid that whole foundation so many people here can have fun, can have businesses, and have great things to do with cars.
I'm just glad I lived long enough to see it all.
Exactly.
He's the guy that allowed Baskerville to work.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was worth it.
Great Baskerville. Wow, that's a guy. Too bad he's not around to interview.
Let me tell you, he could tell you stories that
nobody believes.
Well, yes.
We wouldn't let him tell a lot of them.
And if you're listening to this and you don't know who Gray Baskerville is, well, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, Google his name because he was one of the greatest guys that ever came out of Hot Rod Magazine and hot riding at all. And yeah, that's how we're going to wrap up this edition of Shift and Steer.
This guy right here.
Harry Hibbler, thanks for coming
thank
by.
Thank you, guys. It was fun.
Moderator Matt DeAndrea.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pete Shapors, the Hoff.
That's right. Let's grab a beer.
I'm Brad Fanshaw, and on the other side is Aaron Hagar.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow.